I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here's my question. Whom do you follow and why? In 1284, the town of Hamelin was besieged by rats. One day a man appeared claiming to be a rat catcher. So the mayor promised to pay him if he would rid the town of those pesky and pestilential rats. Playing on his musical pipe, the rat catcher lured the rats to their death in the nearby river. When the mayor reneged on his promise of payment, so the story goes, the rat catcher vowed revenge. Sometime later, while the townspeople were in church, he showed up dressed in green like a hunter, played his pipes, and 130 children followed him out of town, never to be seen again. Of course, it is the fictional story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin, but it does raise the question, whom do you follow and why? I was recently reading about the scandal known as Bridgegate. Remember that? This involved the blocking off of toll gates to the George Washington Bridge for alleged revenge on a political opponent. The action raises many flags. Even if the governor of New Jersey knew nothing about it before it happened, what motivates a political staffer to follow his or her boss in doing such a baldly bad and dangerous trick? Whom have you followed in your life and why? Did you follow a coach to undertake training, practice, and performing on the football field or the basketball court or the swimming pool? What caused you to get up earlier than you wanted, to endure hot practice days in August, to swim 10 more sets, to spend more hours in the weight room? Was it because that coach was nice to you? Was it because you knew that the coach had been successful with others and you wanted to recapture some of that success? Was it because that coach pulled you out of yourself for something better and more important than self-fulfillment? Could have been all of those. Did you ever follow a superior at work or in your union or the military or in community life? Why did you do that? Did you feel compelled to follow? And if you didn't, you wouldn't last in the job or you would get in legal trouble. Did you believe that the union president was a skilled negotiator, knew enough about the company you worked for, and had shown his concern for his workers before? Did you expect that by following and supporting a candidate for office, you might benefit? Or that the candidate you followed knew what he or she was doing, or that nobody else was going to do it? Lots of reasons, but in the end, we usually follow people we trust. We follow people who know the way. We follow people who lift us up. We follow people who know what they're doing. And mostly, we follow the one who asks us to follow. That puts us in the company of the net guys, Andrew and Simon. With no spectacle, without media present, on an ordinary work day, while they were fishing, Andrew and Simon heard a call from an unelected, unambitious, non-political figure walking beside the sea. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. No real promise of reward, no lure of victory, no new clothes or prestige or position. Just follow me. There's a certain, Pied Piperness about this moment. Although those who follow this piper's call don't end up in the mountain cave. They end up jostled in Jerusalem, locked behind thick doors, filled with strange tongues, and admittedly dead at the hands of callous and evil men. They also ended up shouting to the world, "We have seen the Lord risen from the dead." But there is a summons in the air along the Sea of Galilee that afternoon, a song of invitation, the sweet urging of change and hope. And the two sets of brothers left, as the gospel says, and followed. You could construct a museum exhibit of what they left behind. Boats anchored in the sand, fishing nets draped across the bow, drying, ready for the next haul. The day's lunch resting in the boat, uneaten, unclaimed in the moment of following. No matter whom we follow, or the reason for following, there's always disappointment. Sometimes we invest too much in the leader and cannot accept failure or flaws. Every coach, every teacher, every workplace superior, every town supervisor, every governor, every president, every priest, and every bishop will let us down. Moments of regret hang sadly along the trail of our following. And sometimes we cannot go the rest of the journey. Just before I moved from Buffalo, there was a letter to the editor of the Buffalo News from a church member mourning the loss, the retirement of her pastor. She cited all the clearly good qualities he possessed, and she was bereft in his absence and clearly angry that following him had left her in this state. So St. Paul had to make clear to the Corinthians that all following in faith will fail except the following of Christ. So consider today whom you follow and why. The fish may be biting, but they can wait. Pay attention to the Pied Piper of Galilee, who happens along and calls our name and says in a voice tinged with promise and sacrifice, "Follow me." Within this community called Christian, we stand with many generations of ancestors casting our ancestral nets into the sea until the one whom we long to hear walks by. At this point, Albert Schweitzer says it best. He comes to us as one unknown without a name, as of old by the lakeside. He came to those men who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, "Follow thou me," and sets us to the tasks which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands that to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, the sufferings which they shall pass through in his fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. It is just simply the voice of Jesus. "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Amen.